Now, gang, you might be out there trying to figure out Children of the Sun by Judas Priest, or maybe even you're trying to figure out Longer by Dan Fogelberg. I've got an app for you, whether you're a professional musician or a beginner. Ultimate Guitar is an amazing app. For just $2.99, you get the chords and tabs on guitar, bass, and ukulele for over a million songs. You also get tools like a tuner, metronome, chord library, and more. That's Ultimate Guitar. Go to ultimateguitar.com or download the app to your phone and start jamming today.
And you may ask yourself,
how did I get here? And now here is your host, Johnny Howdy.
When we talk.
All right, hello, I'm Johnny, I'm your host. Welcome to the show. I hope that you all had a great Labor Day weekend. Yeah, if you celebrate that sort of thing, if you're a Labor Day person, unless you had to work on Labor Day, sorry. Sorry, pals. I'm actually doing this on Labor Day, on Monday, the day before this show comes out. I have a great show for you guys today. Charlie Fay from Charlie Fay and the Fayettes returns to the show today. This is about Charlie's, I think, sixth or seventh time on the show. Anyway, Charlie Fay and the Fayettes are releasing a brand new single, I Don't Need No Baby, this Thursday, September 6th, and they're celebrating with a single release show here in Austin, Thursday, September 6th at Antone's. Doors at 9, show at 9:30. Friday, September 7th, they will be at Mucky Duck in Houston, Texas. Go to charliefayandthefayettes.com and get involved. Find out when they're coming to a town near you, because in fact, they're playing September 15th. They'll be in Nashville at Americana Fest. So go to charliefayandthefayettes.com and get involved there. That's what you need to do. Great conversation with Charlie, as always. We always have good combos on the shows. You know, I've seen her evolve a lot through the show. Like when she first came on, she was going to a different city and recording a song in every city, and she put out that record. And then she did the record where she used the record player to play the tracks when she went out and toured. That was really cool. And then she started this sort of like modern day take on the 60s girl group with Charlie Fay and the Fayettes. And that's what she's been doing. And last year, I had the pleasure of working with her in the artist development program at Austin Music Foundation and got to spend a lot of time talking to her about what she was up to and what she's doing. And they've actually recorded a whole record. And the record was produced by Eric Holden, who is Charlie Fay's husband. And also the bass player in the band sometimes, in Charlie Fay and the Fayettes. And he's also a bass player in the Bodines sometimes. And he also plays with a lot of Asian pop acts. And he plays in these, if you follow him on Instagram, he's all over the world playing with all these wild pop acts in these giant enormo domes. So Charlie suggested that when the record come out, maybe she come back on with Eric. And I have them both on. I think that'd be a great conversation. Fantastic, okay? Hey, listen, man, once again, I hope you guys all had a great Labor Day weekend. Charlie Fay's single, I Don't Need No Baby, drops on this Thursday, September 6th, and she's celebrating with the show there at Antone. So go to Charlie Fay and the Fayettes for all of your Charlie Fay and the Fayettes needs. And yeah, enjoy my conversation, one of many, with my friend, Charlie Fay. Let's get down.
There in your eyes, I've seen it more than once on other guys.
How many times have you been on this show?
Geez, I don't know. I think I was
8 or something. You were one of the first ones.
Yeah, I think I was in like the first 10 or something.
Yeah.
But yeah.
You've been on a lot of times.
Probably, yeah, maybe 5 or 6 times.
Mm-hmm. 'Cause, that's awesome.
Yeah.
I like that. We check in. I remember you were on last year when we did that show at the ACL 310.
Mm-hmm.
And you were in Minnesota this weekend playing the State Fair?
Yeah, we did the Minnesota State Fair.
How was that?
Super fun. Super fun. They treat you really well. And You know, honestly, I kind of forgot because we don't do a lot of touring.
Right.
You know, I kind of forgot how much fun it is to like be out there with the band.
Yeah.
You know,
in a new place and for people that have never seen you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and like I got an Airbnb for us all to stay at, like a big Airbnb, this cool old house and like this kind of funky but kind of up and coming cool neighborhood.
Cool.
And so we were all staying there together. And
where is that? In Minneapolis?
In St. Paul.
St. Paul?
Yeah.
What's the difference? I've been to Minneapolis. I don't know if I've been to St. Paul.
I don't know. It's one of those cities, I think, that's like both, you know, or what's the other one that's like that?
Tampa, St. Petersburg?
East St. Louis and...
West St. Louis?
No. What?
Well, what did you just get back yesterday?
2 days ago.
2 days ago.
Yeah.
Okay. So, so it was great. Were the was Eric playing with you?
Yeah.
And with the Bodines?
Not with the Bodines.
But no, they were there?
Bodines weren't there yet. They came in the day after we left, so we totally missed them. And Eric actually flew from Minnesota straight back to L.A. to start rehearsals for another Chinese pop thing.
Yeah. What's going on with that? That is, every time I see these photos of him, he's playing like the Enormo Dome in Singapore or something.
Only Enormo Domes. he somehow has become like the number one call for all Chinese pop artists.
That's so cool.
Yeah, it is cool. It's random. Like, I, you know, nobody, well, maybe somebody, but I'm sure Eric didn't set out to like, I'm going to be the number one Chinese pop bass player in the world. But, you know, honestly, he is the number one Chinese pop bass player in the world.
I think that if you were interested in traveling and stuff like that, that would be just an amazing thing to do because he's traveling in all these exotic places. Do you ever go?
I haven't gone. No, I think just because the travel is so intense and usually he's like flying, he flies out, you know, one day, has a rehearsal the next day, gig the day after that and flies right back. So it's so much flying.
Does he speak in Chinese?
No.
How does he get along?
Well, with difficulty. But apparently there are so many different dialects. Like every place they go, there are different dialects. So he's like, sometimes, you know, even like the tour manager who speaks Chinese can't communicate with, you know, the person behind the coffee counter.
Right.
So.
I like that the problems are still the same as like a regular tour. I'm just trying to get a coffee, man, before my gig.
It's really, that's the problem. He cannot get a cup of coffee. He's like trying, like they give him something else instead. No, cafe. No.
So it was the whole band then in Minnesota?
Yeah, the whole band. Well, we didn't have keys. We did a little bit of a smaller thing, but yeah, the whole band aside from that, and we just had a blast.
Was it Akina and Betty Sue or was it Barbara?
It was Barbara and Betty Sue. Akina couldn't do this one, and Barbara has kind of become like the third Fayette.
Yeah.
And Barbara Nesbitt, she's incredible because she sometimes subs for Betty Sue and sometimes subs for Akina.
Oh.
Which, like, for your brain has got to be really crazy because sometimes not only is she learning different harmony parts, she's learning slightly different dance moves. So instead of like turning first on East Side, she turns second. So, you know.
Wow.
Yeah.
She's a pretty talented woman.
She's
real cool too.
She is.
I realize I've had all the Fayettes on here.
Well, good.
Yeah.
As you should.
As I should. Akina, we did it in my ex-girlfriend's backyard and my dog wouldn't stop licking her. It was really embarrassing. I feel like I'm always apologizing to her for that. Like, and then she always goes, how's my boyfriend? That's who she's talking about.
That's funny.
Because he's a sweet dog.
That will happen with my dog, Rufus, too. Like, if you're wearing lotion or, like, especially if you use coconut oil as your lotion, like, he goes nuts.
Have you seen this thing about coconut oil being really gross and bad for you?
No, but everything that they say is really great for you, eventually somebody's going to say is really bad for you.
You know what makes me laugh is when I see those cigarette ads for like, oh, these are lower tar, like these are better for you cigarettes. Mm. Like that's hilarious that they use to get away with that.
The healthy cigarette. Yeah. Organic. Yeah, it's all kind of, you know, I'm very conscious of health stuff, but I just do what makes my body feel good, and I feel things pretty immediately, so that's lucky for me, I guess. I'm not going to hurt myself
because
it'll hurt immediately.
Yeah, exactly. Your song, I Don't Need No Baby, is amazing. I think this is my favorite one of your Charlie Faye and the Fayette songs yet.
That's so cool.
There's also something real weird about it in the verses that is kind of, is it, am I wrong?
Hmm.
It just feels scary. There's something scary about the verses.
Scary?
It's one of those things where if something's real beautiful, like I think even before I was told that Brian Wilson had problems, when I listened to In My Room, it bummed me out.
Hmm.
Like, I was just like, there's something weird going on here, yeah. Like something sad. Is there something weird going on in the verses?
Oh, I don't
know. I guess I just see I see your music, like, cinematically. Like, I could see that in a very dark, like, Scorsese scene, and that beautiful song just playing in the background.
Funny. Well, you know, the funny thing is I wrote it, like, for a brief for a TV show.
Oh, you did? Okay. But it was for a nice scene.
But it was, you know, what it was for was for this character who is this young, like, teenage black girl with a lot of confidence who is, like, really much more interested in her career than in boys.
Hmm.
So that's kind of what I was thinking, you know. But I really did want to give it something. Because, you know, it's obviously kind of an answer song to Be My Baby.
Mm-hmm.
But we wanted to make it different, you know, give it a different vibe, even yeah. though there's a lot, you know, that we're taking a similar feel. But, you know, instead of, and we started off, Pete Thomas played drums.
Oh, really?
And you know, we started off, we're like, how do we, like, get away from Be My Baby drum beat a little? So we tried a couple of different things and, like, then.
Claps.
Yeah. And then what we ended up doing, because it wasn't doing, like, quite what we wanted it to set it apart from that. So Eric ended up programming some drums for it. Eric produced this new record.
He's amazing.
Yeah.
Because it's amazing sounding. Sounds great. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sounds as good as Judas Priest.
Woohoo. That's what we're going for.
I know. That's what exactly guys. Hey, man, we got to match this to the Judas. Hey, can you A-B this with the Judas Priest record?
Thing I've never said in my entire life.
I'm trying to think if I've said that. I don't think I've said that.
But I wonder if it has like a creepy feeling to you because it seems like it's supposed to feel. Supposed to feel like a 60s girl group, but, like, there's something about it that's off,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah.
And that would make sense because yeah. what's off is we're using these modern elements to try to make it feel
right.
like now. And it's also, you know, rejecting the guy the entire time. Maybe that's why.
That might be another thing I'm going through. I might be going through that,
feeling the rejection.
So you have a single release show Saturday, September 6th at Antone's. Doors at 9, show at 9:30. Are you someone else on the bill too?
It's just us.
Just you guys? How long is the show?
Come for us. It'll be an hour and a half.
I'll go to that.
Good. I'm glad. Yeah, I'm excited. It's our first time playing at Antone's.
That's a good place for you guys to play.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It seems like it.
Yeah.
I hope we can bring enough people out that we can... Because it's bigger than, I mean, we're used to playing the Continental, which is definitely a little smaller.
Maybe. Is it a little smaller?
It feels like it. Because I don't worry about packing the Continental, but for some reason I'm like, oh God, I hope we can fill up Antone's. I think also the last time I was there, I went to see Black Pumas there and it was a sold out show. And I'm like, oh my God, that, you know, we probably won't have it that packed. But I hope, you know, that we can...
Well, everyone should get out there. You can go to charliefayeandthefayettes.com and make sure that you can get tickets through there. Ticket link on there? I didn't look.
Yes, you can get the tickets through there.
Black Pumas are great.
They're so great.
They're really great.
They're my new favorite Austin band.
I wish there was more music you could hear by them. Kind of drives me nuts.
I think there's something
coming.
Well, of course there's something coming. You know they made a full-length record and putting out that single, I think, has gotten everyone really excited about the record and gotten a bunch of, like, the team on board as far as, like, they've got, you know, I think a publishing deal now. They've obviously got some great touring happening, so...
We should get in a band with Adrian. I think that happens with every band he's in, right?
Right?
Yeah.
You know,
I
you
think
and
that's
I,
the key.
You and I talked about...
starting a band.
Well, no. When I was going, who should produce this next Fayette's record? You were like, maybe Adrian would be a good
fit. Yeah.
And
I still think that.
Yeah. I do, too. I would really like to work with him.
Yeah. Then maybe...
Yeah.
Maybe it'll all happen.
Maybe we should start. Yeah.
Anything. I just did these song division. Do you know what that is? Did Eric do one of those?
No.
Song division thing? It's this weird corporate. It's hard to explain, but
okay.
There was a house band. It was Corey Glazer and Chris Gebert and Alex Marrero was playing drums. He's the singer from
I know
Sabbath.
Alex.
Yeah. That guy is a monster drummer. He's a monster musician.
And singer and performer.
And singer.
Yeah.
And even though he's from Mexico, he's Cuban. His parents are from Cuba.
Mm-hmm.
So I've never been in a band with two Cubans before, ever. I've always been the only one. It was great. It was fantastic. Anyway, I don't know why I had to bring that up.
That's cool.
Friday, September 7th, you'll be at the Mucky Duck in Houston. And you're playing Americana Fest in Nashville?
Yep, we are.
Yeah. Do you know your showcase yet?
Yeah. It'll be Saturday of Americana Fest. I believe that's September 15th at 12th and Porter at 8 p.m.
12th and Porter, not 3rd and Lindsley.
No, isn't that? They do that.
It's weird,
there.
Right? Isn't there another one that has two names like that there?
I mean, are they just like naming the streets that it's on?
I think that's actually a pretty good idea.
I mean,
I would. That just sounds like an easy out.
Right. It's logical. It's logical. Yeah. You know,
Riverside and 35. If I had a club, that would be the.
Yep.
It'd be called Riverside and 35. Mm-hmm. How does this fit into Americana Fest? Because it is Americana to me.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, America.
Wait, what else could it be?
Yeah, I know, but it's not the style of music.
It's true. I mean, it's really what it is. It's 60s pop, you know.
I think that's you.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, mine actually makes noises.
Oh, that's my mom. Oh. Someone's calling you too?
No, Sherilyn Mayhew is writing me.
Yeah, it's interesting kind of seeing how Americana as a genre has grown over the years. Like last year, William Bell won a Lifetime Achievement Award.
Who's that?
He's a Stax artist.
Okay.
You know, from the 60s, who's still making records.
I thought you
meant
he was like a guy now, and I was like, who's
no,
that?
Well, he
yeah.
is.
Yeah, yeah.
He put out a
still
record.
Still makes records.
Yeah, a year or two ago on Concord. Beautiful record.
Right.
So yeah, still making records and has been doing it since the 60s.
Right.
And yeah, I was always a huge fan of his. So to see him brought in and given an Americana Lifetime Achievement Award was really cool. Made me go, okay, yep. 60s pop is Americana.
Yeah. So wait a minute. So what is the Americana that like drive-by truckers are? Like what is... That's America. I mean,
isn't
to
that
me.
Like a more alt country side of Americana or something?
I don't know.
You know, I think it would.
I don't know.
I'm not in charge of Americana or anything, but
well, you're going to the festival.
But I it's actually it's my favorite festival, and I've gone every year now for like 7 or 8 years. And I think what they're trying to do with the genre is. Have a place for everything that kind of comes from any American roots music.
Right, right. Because there are a lot of bands that are mixing like country, rock and roll, and soul. Like
right.
Southern bands
yeah.
did at one point. You
yeah.
know?
Even who's that big country artist, like one of the biggest country artists there is now? It's this guy who...
It's this guy.
Oh, man. I'm spacing on his name, but like he's... huge, and his stuff like sounds kind of like soul music.
Well, to me, Ray LaMontagne was kind of in that American, like the same
sure.
people that would go yeah. see drive-by truckers would go see Ray LaMontagne.
Sure.
Me. Why am I using drive-by truckers for everything?
I don't know.
Jason Isbell, like I'm in 2002 right now.
Yeah.
That's where I am before podcasts and everything. All right. So you are playing there, and is the showcase? Are there other bands? Like other sort of like soulful
yeah,
acts
I'm,
on there?
I'm not sure who else is on that particular showcase,
okay.
But they do have like 4 or 5 bands at each venue every night, and it's always really cool.
Yeah. It's like South by Southwest?
No, it's way more manageable.
No.
No, it's not. I love it. The reason it's my favorite festival to go to, like, as a music fan, is like the size of it is perfect. So there may be 7 or 8 venues around town. You know, that's it.
Oh, okay.
And, you know, they're all great venues. There's no, like, turning some, you know,
7-11
crappy place into a venue, you know. So there's maybe 7 or 8 venues, and there are 4 or 5 bands on, you know, the bill each night. And it's all music I like.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. You love American music. That's not bad.
I like American music.
Yeah.
Do you like American music?
I do. I love American music. I like British metal.
You didn't get my reference.
Oh, what?
It's a Violent Femmes.
Oh, that's how down I am with that. I only know 2 Violent Femmes songs. That's,
okay.
I'll be honest. Okay. And I only know really 2 Motorhead songs. I realized that yesterday. Someone
I don't
asked
think
me,
I know any Motorhead songs.
You know Ace of Spades.
I don't know. So much of the time, is this from the 80s?
I remember kids wearing their shirts when I was in junior high, so okay. It must be from then.
Well, there you go.
But I don't think I accepted Motorhead. Listen, I'm a latecomer to hard rock.
Yeah.
I mean, to metal and stuff. Like, I've gotten into it over the last, like, 15 years.
Okay. See, all that stuff, like, hard rock, anything kind of hard, I'm just not that into. So, like, I don't know about it. And there's a lot of stuff from the 80s that, like, maybe I would like to, but I've kind of missed all the music of the 80s.
What is your favorite music of the 80s? Can you name, like, a few songs? Like, are you a Madonna person?
Oh, my God. No, I don't know, because it's when I wasn't listening to 80s.
You like Lone Justice.
I do love Lone Justice.
They were New Sincerity before Americana.
Okay.
Right? Wasn't that what that was?
New Sincerity?
Yeah, that's the pre-thing to
That's
Americana.
A genre?
It was in the 80s. That's a Alejandro was that.
You know, Rockpile was in the 80s, right?
I saw their videos on MTV in the 80s, so it must have been.
Yes,
yeah.
Then Rockpile, done.
That's Rockpile's...
Nick Lowe, Dave Edmonds, Billy Bremner.
And some other dudes.
Yeah, one other guy.
That's rock and roll. That's like rock and roll.
Yeah, but you know, that's 80s, very influenced by...
But you don't have any, like, Depeche Mode in your record collection or, like, a weird synthesizer band or, like, even Cocteau Twins underground kind of weirdness?
No, I'm a little, and maybe that's why I have such, like, resistance to synthesizers.
My beef.
Because in the 80s, you know, when I was a little kid, I got obsessed with, like, Carole King and, like, James Taylor and Carly Simon, and that's what I was listening to. I remember going to camp... And, like, all the girls were into New Kids on the Block. And I didn't even know them, you know? So I was out of the loop. Yeah.
And KOTB, sorry. So you never knew Kids on... What about the 90s? Did anything get you there?
Yeah, the 90s, well, kind of mid-90s is the first time I actually was listening to the radio. I listened to Z100 when I was in high school.
Which was in New York?
In New York, which is, like, your... It's like
the pop
big
station.
Pop station. So they were playing stuff like Nirvana, Smashing Pumpkins, Stone Temple Pilots. And then, you know, the big female singer-songwriter wave with like Sarah McLachlan, Fiona Jewel. Apple, Jewel,
those,
all that stuff.
Those were all
stuff.
Played on those same stations, I found. I mean, I found, I think Sarah McLachlan, I can't, I'm sure they were an alternative radio station.
Yeah. It was an interesting time because pop radio was playing grunge.
Right.
And these like emotive
female
singer-songwriter.
Oh yeah, and emotive singer
songs.
And some 90s R&B.
Some of that. Yeah. That was fun too.
There was you know that the very first time I ever heard Nirvana was on KGSR.
Hmm. Nice.
And they played Come As You Are. That's the first Nirvana song I heard.
Cool.
Yeah.
You remember hearing it?
Yeah. I remember because it was a band I was supposed to see with Einar a few weeks before in Houston.
Huh.
But I wanted to come back to Austin. I was already living here and I'd played a gig that day and I was like, I got to work tomorrow. I'm just going to go home now. And I didn't go see Nirvana.
Ever?
No.
Ah.
Never. Never. Although we did, my band took a break. We were playing Stempies in Fort Worth, and Mr. Rocket Baby took a break when they played when they put out In Utero and they were on Saturday Night Live, we could see the TV and the guy was like, oh, they're going to play next. And we stopped playing so that everyone could watch them play their song. I was into them.
Yeah.
Anyway, sorry. I don't know why I went on that long thing.
No, I was into
them
too.
But the radio was really broad at that point.
Yeah.
You know, there were, did you like Jewel? Do you know Steve Pultz?
I know Steve Pultz.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like Jewel. I remember asking my guitar teacher to like teach me a Jewel song and he wanted to teach me scales. So I quit.
It's a drag when teachers teach you things you don't want to learn, isn't it?
Well, yeah. I mean, I think my approach, and you know, everybody's different, but like once someone starts really realizing that they need the music theory, that's when it would be a good time to learn it.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's just like force feeding.
Do you have any problem ever communicating to other musicians anything?
Sure. I mean, sure I do.
Yeah.
You know, I'm lucky that I work with people who,
me too,
you know, like one, there always seems to be someone around who can translate for me. Like if Eric's not around, then Akina and Betty are both like, they know that stuff. They, yeah, you know music theory and they can translate. But also, usually everyone I'm working with, I can explain. I'm like, you know what? There's something about that chord you're playing. It doesn't sound exactly right. Let's listen to the record. And then they're like, oh, it's a this, not a that. Sorry.
Right.
Like, I know if it doesn't sound right.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, I wish I had those communication skills.
It's interesting because sometimes people don't. I mean, you do. I know you do have, you might not be able to say the exact thing, me neither in some cases, but I can tell you if something, you know what I mean?
Right.
And did you ever see that movie about Michael Jackson after he died, that touring thing?
Oh, with all the dance stuff. Yeah, that was cool.
Remember that part? There was like one part that I think stunned, at least most musicians that I know, they were like, oh, he is super badass.
Yeah.
Like a voicing on a chord that a keyboard player was playing. When all that music was playing, he stopped the thing and he was like, hey, man, I don't think that's right. And
right.
It was one of those things where you're like, okay, good. Because I didn't know how involved he was with everything. But I was like,
right,
shit, man, you can't even get anything by a guy like that.
Yeah.
I'm sure you like that too. I mean, you like control. We were just talking about that.
Yeah, it's true. I hear a lot. Keys is one thing that I don't hear as well,
right,
for some reason, but guitar, bass, drums, I'm very picky and very spoiled with, you know, the great musicians I play with.
That's true. And I'll say this is the way that you've recorded all the Charlie Faye and the Fayettes things, all the parts are very specific.
Yeah,
it's not like a, hey, just like learn the thing and then just kind of noodle your way around.
No,
there's a specific
exactly
layout of these pop songs,
and you have to make sure, rather I have to make sure to like give that talk to anyone who's playing with us for the first time, like,
sure,
hey, we want to play with you, this is the deal.
Yeah,
like you got to learn the parts. And for the most part, you know, the people we work with are super pro, and you know, and they do that, they do their homework and they show up and they kick ass. But you know, occasionally we'll get someone who's like, oh yeah, yeah, parts, yeah, I got it, and then they don't do their homework, and then I want to murder them.
Yeah, I mean, it's like the way that you guys set it up is like, it really is, all the music is really structured there. It's like a great support for those vocals, you know?
It's orchestrated, it's arranged.
It's arranged.
You know, so, yeah. I mean, and that's how those, like, 60s girl group records were. You wouldn't play one of those songs and not play the part.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Is there anything new you've been listening to that's been inspiring you?
I mean, that Black Pumas stuff, honestly, yeah. I'm really into that. And yeah, that excites me. I think I would be excited to do something kind of going in that direction.
Really?
Next.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How do you do that?
Work with Adrian, I guess.
I'm going to send him a link to this and just be like, hey, look, man.
Yeah.
I feel weird because I did ask him before I made this EP like a year ago if he wanted to do something. And maybe more than a year ago. Maybe it was like a year and a half ago. And he said, yeah. And then I sent him some tunes. But I don't think he I mean, he was like, oh, yeah, this is cool. Let's do it. But I wanted someone to kind of like come in and go like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like tear it apart. I needed to. Yeah. I didn't want anyone to agree with me.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you need different things with different projects.
Yeah. Too. Do you find that sometimes? Like, I mean, you've changed what you do pretty well. Has that been something? I mean, you've about faced, you know what I mean? And gone in this, a very specific sort of direction a couple of times.
Sure.
So far in your career. And you've changed your approach to how you do things. Is that something that you have consciously done on your own, or did you get help from anyone?
Yeah, no. I mean, the idea to do a 60s girl group type thing was from me, you know? Right. It wasn't like a producer came in and was do this, you know?
Right, but I mean, it takes a little more than just like, oh, I'm going to do this. There has to be some sort of arrangement and some sort of like very serious focus. And,
sure.
Or I should say, refocus.
Yeah.
And that's what I know the idea was yours, but it was the sort of like putting it together, a team effort.
On the first one, I feel like it was a team effort. Everyone who came into the studio like had a big part in, you know, the arrangements and everything. On this one, Eric really took the reins and really produced in a way that like I've never had a producer who was this hands-on, which was really cool. And I don't know. I mean, I was going to say, I don't know if it's because I'm married to him, but like, I do know it's not because I'm married to him, because he does everything like that. You know, he'll down to like every last note, you know, it'll be thought out and it'll be made right. He does not let things go.
Yeah.
You know? So that was really cool, like knowing someone else is actually taking responsibility for some of that, and it's not on me to be like, hey, what about blah blah blah. Like, he's got it.
Yeah. And he's been in it. Like he's
living in it. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean he's a good partner
for you
on that. On a, not just in a marriage thing, but as a music guy.
Totally.
So he's off in China now?
No, he's in LA doing rehearsals for China.
Yeah. Is he going to be playing at the record release or at the single release shows?
He is not, because he wasn't sure. He never knows his schedule like that far in advance. So I booked our Austin bass player, Gary, who's awesome. But then it turns out that Eric is going to be in town. So he'll be there hanging out, watching the show.
Get him to get names on the email list.
Yeah.
You do an email list, don't you? Was I seeing that on your website?
Yeah, I haven't like put out a paper mailing list in a long time.
Oh yeah.
But
I haven't since like the mid 90s.
Yeah, how do you collect emails? Do you have a way? Yeah.
I don't.
No, me neither. I'm just like, it's on the website. If you go to the website and you want to sign up.
That has changed so much that it almost feels invasive sending somebody an email. To me, it does.
Yeah. And now, you know, so much of our communication is done through social media, which is a little scary, because your fan base that you've collected on social media, if Facebook were to go kaput tomorrow, like, we'd all be screwed. We wouldn't have access to those people
Everything is
anymore.
Like that now. Yeah.
Yeah.
Imagine if like some weird magnetic storm happened and all the shit just went away. Like,
or
I wouldn't even.
Or if Facebook started charging you, you know, $50 a month to keep your fan page list.
That's terrible.
We're dependent.
We are. We are dependent. It's sad.
What you gonna do?
It's sad. So you recorded this song in L.A.?
Partially in L.A. and partially here in Austin. So we did the basic tracking in L.A. with Eric and Pete Thomas and Marcus Watkins on guitar and Chris Joyner on keys. We were working at this place called Red Star.
Okay.
Really cool little studio. So we did all the basic tracks there. And then we have a studio here in Austin, too. Eric built a studio in our backyard.
That's awesome.
It's pretty amazing. So that's where we did all the vocals, the girls' vocals, a bunch of, you know, overdubs and whatever programming he did, too.
That's great.
Yeah.
So there was no aversion for you for the drum machine?
Oh, there was. Oh, I...
What, were you scared of the rigidness and the non-humanity of it?
The non-humanity of it. And that's the way I feel about, like, anything program, like, drum, you know, programmed drums, and even, like, synth stuff. I'm like, that sound, like, it doesn't sound organic. I don't know if I like it, you know. So there's a lot of resistance there for me, but I'm also aware that happens, so I don't reject it immediately. I'm like, I don't like it, but I'll sit with it. I'll sit with it for a while, and we'll see.
Yeah,
you know. And this record's been a long time in the making, so I've had time to sit with things before we finalized anything.
Right. That's another nice thing, is to have that record just in your backyard. Go back there and change whatever you need to change. Or
yeah,
does that make it a little bit harder to? Did you give yourself a deadline as to? Because will you finish things, or will you just work like U2 style, like just constantly keep on recutting shit?
No. I mean, we can't. Honestly, I am married to the producer, but he's a very busy guy.
Right.
So it's not like I can be like, hey, like, let's go work on this all day. You know, he'll be like, babe, I got work to do. No. like, let's, babe, let's schedule it for next week. So, you know, we would schedule our time in the studio, like pick certain days that we would be working. And I mean, it was nice to do it over a longer period of time. But I think all in all, like, there wasn't that much time spent recording. Right. You know, Eric definitely spent a lot of time kind of working on the record, like post tracking.
Tinkering.
Yeah, tinkering. Yeah, going, oh, this is a cool guitar part. Let's put that over here.
Yeah. Yeah. So would you, are you recorded at Arlen, didn't you? Or was that for somebody else?
That was for something else.
Okay.
That was for the All ATX
CD. Oh, okay. Right.
We did a cover of Nick Lowe's What's So Funny About Peace, Love, and Understanding.
Nice.
Yeah. Really fun.
I love that song.
Me too.
That is his song.
Yes, it is.
Did Pete Thomas play drums on it? Or no, you did it here. So
yeah, we did it here. Okay. Tom played on it. Lewis.
All right. Your normal.
Our Austin drummer.
Austin drummer.
He's the best. He came to Minnesota with us. It was super fun.
Did you get some funnel cake up there?
We didn't do funnel cake. We did fried pickles. Mm-hmm. We did corn on the cob. I think Eitan got some like fried alligator or something.
I've never had alligator.
Yeah. It tasted like chicken.
That's what I hear.
Yeah.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Were you a John McCain fan?
I mean, I like anyone who can be diplomatic, you know? So, yeah.
Yeah. I liked him.
Yeah.
I thought it was sad that when he died.
Yeah.
The other day.
Yeah.
You know what was interesting? We were playing a thing called the Red, White, and Blue Jean Bash, which we played like 9 years in a row. And we found out after soundcheck, before we went on and played, and that is the Red, White, and Blue Jean is a nonprofit that raises money to help out wounded veterans. So I thought it was kind of interesting. It was nice and felt like, I don't know, I guess it added an extra honor to the experience.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. It's pretty right wing, though. Those guys are not messing around.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was originally like a Tea Party organization.
Oh, shit.
I know. But they're really nice. I mean, that's the thing is like, you know. Obviously you're not out there with your music, like your songs aren't telling people anything about the current situation in, which some people are.
Well, you know, there are, not to get into talking about this record that's not out yet, but there are songs on there that talk about like the world going downhill fast.
Yeah.
You know, but in 60s girl group style. you know, it's all kind of vague allusions to, yeah.
Hard not to let that infiltrate your art because
why not?
Oh, yeah, of course not. Well, my thing is it has to be done right. I do have a problem with it really does have to be done right. Because if not, then you're just stuck in this, like, thing that 20 years from now someone won't understand. But I've heard people are you a fan of Western Youth? They're playing Americana Fest too.
You know, I don't really know them. I saw you had them on the podcast recently, but I haven't listen to that one. I listened to a couple other recent ones. Yeah. I listened to Carrie Hudson.
Oh, yeah. She's cool.
I loved that. You know, I was like, this is fun.
Yeah. She's a fun person to talk to.
Yeah.
But I was going to say, their new song is, I'm drawing a blank on it, but the new Western New song, they do it right. Mm. I feel like someone could listen to that 20 years from
now. What does the song say?
It is, here, this is basically like, the song is this. Like, look, hang in there. Hanging on. Is that hanging on? Is that a song?
Oh.
But see what I'm saying? That front picture? That's basically.
Yeah, hanging on. They've got one.
That's the song. It's a pretty intense video.
Okay.
Too. But I thought they did a great job of doing it because it is something that you could apply to the current time and current,
right?
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But you could also apply it to something maybe in the future. And to me, that's the greatness.
Totally. And that's what, you know, I try to do too. I want the stuff to be relatable to anyone and timeless. And this song that we've got, actually there's a video, an in the studio video that is, out and up on the internet of us recording this song called Baby Will Be Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And it's basically like everything's going downhill. The world is a scary place, you know. And all I need to hear is like, you know, baby will be okay. Like I need a little comfort in these hard times, which I feel like that's universal.
I think that is. Yeah. I think, so when is this album going to come out?
I think February.
Oh.
Yeah.
So it's coming soon.
It's coming soon.
Damn, to a theater near you.
Yeah.
Charlie Faye. What's the name of the album? Do you know?
It's called The Whole Shebang.
The Whole Shebang.
Yeah.
How many songs are going to be on it? I'm excited about this. Eric did the whole record?
Yeah.
And this song's on it?
Yeah.
I Don't Need No Baby?
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's 12 songs. Yeah, it'd be. I actually was thinking it'd be fun if when we come in to talk about the album, if I bring Eric in too, and he could talk
that
about
production
stuff. That
would be awesome. I would love that.
Yeah, and then you can, you know, ask him about the Chinese pop world too.
Yeah,
because I can't answer very many questions about that.
Have you ever heard Baby Metal? I saw them.
Baby Metal.
They're
no.
Japanese,
huh?
But it's a J-pop. It's real strange. It's like J-pop, like three girls dancing and singing. Like,
awesome.
Like in Japanese and stuff. But the music is like death metal.
Oh, not so awesome. I mean, it's awesome, but I probably wouldn't like it.
It's over the top. I mean, I don't sit around and listen to it in my house, but I went and saw them.
Wow. Yeah, I bet that would be really cool to see.
Like the guys wear masks and stuff. And I mean, it is like, and they're like, it's really weird. And all these little kids knew the names. And then what was even freakier was the amount of dudes my age that were just kind of there.
Huh.
On their own.
Yeah.
It was very creepy because those girls were like 16. I went not in a creepy way. Mm-hmm. I went because... I went because I'm drawing a blank on her name, but the girl that works at the gallery... Why am I drawing a blank on her name? Anyway, she does the Star Wars benefit at Sea Boys every year. It's pretty cool.
Cool.
Yeah, they have like a band playing Star Wars music and stuff. It's pretty
awesome.
Cool. Costume contest. Anyway, she was like, hey, I'm surprised you're not seeing Baby Metal. And I was like, oh, I've heard of them. And so I just went and saw them. It was great.
Cool.
Anyway, so this album will be coming out in February.
Mm-hmm.
And do you have any, what other plans do you have? Like after Americana Fest, what happens? You start digging into the... album or?
After Americana Fest, I mean, finish up the artwork for the album, you know, get CDs made because we still have to do that.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
They told me, I'm using the same publicist that you are.
Yeah.
And they were like, hey, man, we need some CDs. And I was like, hey, man, no. Yeah. I just said no.
Yeah.
I was like, computers don't even come with CDs anymore.
Right. Well, the thing is,
but you tell. I mean, I'm
yeah.
Not,
press
I'm,
press still wants them for some reason.
Maybe that's why I'm not getting a lot of press.
Maybe the press still wants the physical product, you know. So you got to do that if you want to get the good press. And then I also have pledgers who are expecting CDs. So basically, you know, finish making the physical product, you know, then get the stuff to pledgers in advance of the release, and then start working up. Toward the release, it's a certain part of the album cycle where I'm focusing on the business stuff, which I really enjoy.
You do?
I do.
I hate it.
I do, but I also miss being in the creative part of it. Like, I can do both. Like, I, you know, some people hate the business part, and I don't. I like it, you know, and that's, did you see, I'm speaking on, or I'm doing this TuneCore artist consultations thing tonight.
Oh, cool.
Oh, well, it'll have passed by the time this comes out.
No, I didn't see you there.
But, because I do consulting for other independent artists, like, about, you know, music business stuff.
Yeah. You're good at that stuff.
I really enjoy it.
Yeah.
I will say. And I enjoy being creative on the business side of things too.
Right.
But I do miss writing and like focusing on writing. But
here's what I don't like doing it on my own. That's what I meant to say. I like doing this stuff with AMF and talking to other artists. And when I'm talking to someone else about what I'm doing, but sitting at home like all by yourself doing it is a lonely, it's a drag, it's not any fun.
Yeah, maybe we should start like a group of like, okay, we get together for 3 hours, we're all going to sit down and we're actually, you know, me and Jane Ellen Bryant and Gina Chavez, we were all in that AMF ADP program together, and we decided to like have a work day together where we all got together at my house and like we sat down and we were each separately working on stuff, but then we'd ask each other questions too, like, oh, you were really good at that, how'd you do that? And I think that's really helpful because it can be kind of a solitary thing. People think, you know, writing and being a writer, that's a solitary thing, but this is pretty freaking solitary too.
Super solitary.
Yeah
I bet that was fun. I like all three of you guys.
Yeah.
That was, you know, we're doing the AD. I'm going from here to do an ADP consultation session because it already started.
It started.
With new people, yeah.
Who's in it?
Shy Beast, Western Youth, Otis Wilkins, Aaron Stevens.
He's great.
He's opening for me at my record release.
Awesome. When's your record release?
June, September 13th. September 13th.
Awesome.
Like the Thursday after you.
Yeah.
Like a whole week after you.
Cool.
Yeah. I'm excited. You know what I was just thinking is that when you were talking about how you want things to be organic when you record, you're right. I think you can only achieve timeless music recordings by doing them organically.
Yeah.
I think the second you involve anything from that is specific to that, like the second you throw on a DX7, you know what I mean?
What's that?
I know. It's like the synthesizer that you heard on records that all came out. It's like the, you know, What's Love Got to Do with It?
Mm-hmm.
You know that harmonica solo? That you could blow.
Oh,
they
invented
this thing where you could blow into this thing and play the.
Yeah, I can notes. I can hear it now.
Yeah, it's real cold sounding and all those Chicago songs from those years.
You know what, though? I see your point. However, I think people who grew up listening to, like, grew up later than us, you know, listening to music with that stuff in it. And like didn't have a phase of their life where like that stuff wasn't in there.
Right.
That is going to seem normal and natural to them. Like I remember when I used to hang out with Finley Sexton a bunch, she and her friends would sing like autotune. Like their singing voice is like what they were imitating. Because, you know, when you're young and you're starting to sing, you imitate like the artist that you like, right? Like my brother, for instance, like my brother would always sing with a British accent for some reason. Because like he liked artists who were British. But like those kids who were, you know, teenagers now, they will sing with this like auto-tune affect.
That's awesome.
Yeah. It's funny. It's funny because that's what they're hearing. So mm-hmm. I think, you know, the synths won't bother the younger generation.
No, I guess not. I love synthesizers.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I like all this. I mean, I like weird instruments. I like it just because it's a different texture.
Yeah.
Than, you know what I mean? That's initially how I ended up playing keyboards was because I would record on my own and I needed a different sound than guitar.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
And I'd have like 20 pedals all put together and just still not like find a thing that made it unreal.
Yeah.
Anyway, you should listen to the Cocteau Twins.
Okay.
You might like them.
Send me a song.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I will.
I'll listen to it.
I love them very much. I can show you, I actually ripped off one of their songs so hard that...
How hard? Not so hard that you're worried about it.
No. I didn't steal it musically, just the whole... I'll show you.
Okay.
It's a pretty bad ripoff. Cool. But hey, people can get out there and check out this single. Comes. Am I allowed to play this on the...
Yeah, you can play it.
I can play it?
Yeah.
Because it's going to come out before the...
Yeah.
Okay. It'll be available, this single, I Don't Need No Baby. Single's out Thursday, September 6th, with a single release show Thursday, September 6th at Antone's here in Austin. Friday, September 7th at the Mucky Duck in Houston. You can catch Charlie Faye and the Fayettes at Americana Fest in Nashville, September 15th. Go to charliefayeandthefayettes.com for all your Fayettes needs.
Yes.
It's been great talking to you.
Yeah, you are too.
It's hot in here, isn't it?
It is hot in
summertime
here.
Summertime podcasts
sweating.
Suck because I have to turn off the AC.
I know.
Well, you'll be back in February.
Yeah.
Or come in January.
Yeah.
We won't have to deal with this. I mean, although, I do feel the end of the world coming on too, by the way.
The end of the world.
We didn't even get to that. Well, the heat. It's getting the hottest 17 years in recorded history have happened in the last 18.
Yeah. Actually, I was in LA a bunch this summer and...
it's on fire.
And they had the hottest day ever recorded in LA. It was like... Well, where we were.
78.
Well, no. I mean, because it's different. I'm sure it was way hotter in the valley and way cooler, you know, by the ocean. But we're, you know, on the east side in Echo Park, and it was 108.
That's terrible.
And, you know, people in LA don't have air conditioning.
No.
Because they never needed it before.
No, you don't need it. Now you do.
Now they need it. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'm looking forward to seeing you in January. I'm going to come to your show too, so
yay!
I'm around next week and I'll do that.
Awesome.
Great talking to you.
You too.
All right. I don't need no baby. Baby, we're better off as friends. Charlie Faye and the Fayettes, their brand new single, you're hearing it now, I Don't Need No Baby, out this Thursday, September 6th, and they are celebrating with a single release show this Thursday, September 6th at Antone's. Doors are at 9, show is at 9:30. They will be playing Friday, September 7th, this Friday, September 7th in Houston at the Mucky Deck. Go to charliefayeandthefayettes.com for all of your Charlie Faye and the Fayettes needs. Great, great, great. Always great getting to hang out and talk to Charlie. Great artist and a great hang. All right? Everyone, hey, while you're out there checking out I Don't Need No Baby at charliefayeandthefayettes.com, don't forget that you can subscribe to this podcast on all the places where you subscribe on podcasts. That's right. iTunes, Apple Podcast, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, Overcast, all the places. Do it. Tune in. And you will get a new show every Tuesday and every Friday. Coming up this Friday, I will be the guest on the show. That's right. I have an EP dropping next week, and I'll be on Friday's show. I'll be interviewed by Eric Tesmer, the amazing Eric Tesmer. All right, let's hear some more music from Charlie Faye and the Fayettes. This is their new single, I Don't Need No Baby, out this Thursday, September 6th. CharlieFayeandTheFayettes.com for all your Charlie Faye and the Fayettes needs. Let's get down. It's true.